We need to pray.
The second word, amen, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied to him, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now it seems that paradise is a place where all of us would love to go, and rightly so. It can be especially appealing in these hard times in which we're desperately looking for hope and feel like we're losing control of our lives and perhaps even our very selves. In examining Jesus' words from the cross during these meditations, we will see how we can restore ourselves and the world by restoring all things in Christ. So let us start with this second word, which gives us the twofold path to paradise. In the first part of the word, we hear Jesus say, amen, amen, I say to you. Amen means, so be it. Let it be done. So from the word amen, we learn one of the paths to paradise is obedience through justice. Next, we hear Jesus continuing to speak, saying, you will be with me in paradise. It speaks of presence, people being together, which is a sign of love. Love is the second essential path to paradise. So if love and obedience are the keys to paradise, why are we sometimes like the criminal who reviled God when asked to do these things? I think it's because we can become content with things that are good enough to be like paradise, and so we don't bother to go deeper to obtain the real thing. So let's go deeper by briefly looking at this twofold path of paradise in love and obedience through justice. First, we'll look at love. It's interesting that the first time the word love actually appears in Scripture is in Genesis 22. And do you know what Genesis 22 is? I see you're all raising your hand so quickly there. I'll share it with you. It's here that God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son, whom he loves, on a mountain that he would show him. The first time the word love appears in Scripture is connected to one, sacrifice, and two, seeing what God has to show us, i.e., the gift of wisdom. Both of these aspects are not easy to master, but they are essential to love. In this, Genesis challenges us to choose. No, choice is not an emotion or a feeling, but an act of the will, because we cannot help how we feel, but we can control our choices. So he challenges us to choose sacrifice, to keep love in our hearts as we travel through difficult times and look for help. In keeping love in our times of grief, we keep our eyes open to wisdom, to what God has to show us on the mountain, on our Mount Moriah, our Mount Calvary, just as he showed Abraham and Moses and those with Jesus during his last words. Moses gives another example connected to wisdom and love. In Leviticus 10, we see two newly ordained priests, the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, light fire in the Holy of Holies with incense, and they're struck dead instantly. Moses then tells them to drag their bodies out of the sanctuary and not even to mourn. Why were they struck dead instantly? Well, Fulton Sheen gives a thought-provoking answer. He said, it was because the fires from the altar of intercession must be lighted first from the altar of sacrifice. There's no intercession except through sacrifice. And they skipped Calvary, as it were, and thought that they could have intercession with God without sacrifice. In our universal priesthood, we too must not be like Aaron's sons and aim for paradise without being unwilling to sacrifice. To expect God to intercede or help us get to heaven without a willingness to lay down our lives. This is because there's two types of saints in heaven: those who have loved much and those who have sacrificed much. And in reality, they're one and the same, because there's no true love without sacrifice. So too, if the paradise that we aim for is a paradise of simply comfort rather than sacrifice, it will be a paradise absent of true love and unworthy of the name of heaven. This is why the second pathway to paradise is important. We need obedience through justice. Jesus offers to the good thief paradise only after he fulfills justice, only after his heart is softened enough to obey and follow the Lord to paradise. The prophet Isaiah tells us, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. I, the Lord, have called you for a victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you. I set you as a covenant of the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness." From this, we hear that God's favored and chosen ones bring forth justice. Justice towards God, as Isaiah mentions, is a covenant. One thing that brings forth victory of justice by connecting justice with himself, God, and neighbor by opening the eyes of the blind towards seeing the truth, giving the light of love to those walking in the darkness of self-doubt, and setting people free by helping them to know their value. This last aspect of justice is crucial because it's the difference between thinking like the bad thief in Judas, who knew the cost of everything and the value of nothing, and the good thief and God's chosen ones destined towards paradise, who know the value of things from God's perspective or wisdom, and doesn't focus solely on how much things cost. The wise man focuses on sanctification, not simply calculation. That will cost me too much time. That will cost me too much emotional resources to care. That'll cost me too much sleep, so I won't pull that off. Calculation often keeps us from love, which, as motivational speaker Matthew Kelly says, love is defined as carefree timelessness. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying be imprudent, but when in love, you don't watch the clock. You enjoy every single moment that you're with that person. You lose track of time. You don't worry about sleep or the emotional vulnerability. All of this shows justice of the value that you hold for that particular relationship. So in this word from the cross, let us aim for paradise. Let us dare to walk the twofold path of love and obedience through justice. Let us remember that love must be tied to sacrifice and wisdom. Let us remember that obedience is connected to justice. And so let us end by praying the prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola and accept the Lord's invitation to paradise. The prayer goes like this. Teach me, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve. Teach me to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing I do your most holy will. Amen.